The reading is some excerpts from the story of chapter 28. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. The apostles and believers, 120 of them, continued to meet regularly. They celebrated Jesus' resurrection and encouraged one another. Then, 10 days after Jesus' ascension, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the other parts of Libya that are near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, we just finished cleaning up Easter, or almost, right? There's still some plastic eggs laying around, right? But we moved all the way from Easter to Pentecost. Usually you have to wait 50 days for this, but time flies when you're reading a lot of chapters all at once of the Bible. Because we're following the story this year, which is the chronological compilation of the Bible, it put the resurrection of Jesus last week, and then this next chapter already this week is what happens later. They call it New Beginnings, right? We've jumped ahead from our traditional 50 days after Easter to going right into celebrating the Pentecost. Yeah. Like I shared with the kids, some celebrate Holy Humor Sunday this day, the Sunday after Easter, reminding of this bright week that follows Easter, where we share in laughter and joy, and we sing of joy, and we celebrate, and some people pull pranks, all because some call the resurrection of Jesus the biggest and greatest prank ever played. Jesus died on the cross. That's what the devil wanted. That's what the leaders wanted. And they thought they had won. They had won because they beat God. They got rid of that guy. But as it says in the Apostles' Creed, Jesus descended into hell, but he didn't stay. He rose from the dead and came back to the people so that he could ascend into the heavens. Alice read us all the way through that, right? Not only did Jesus rise from the dead and spend time with his people, with his disciples, right? But then he ascended into heaven, and then after that, we get to Pentecost, because the work wasn't done. For the last 26 weeks or more, we've talked about how God has been working to realign the relationship that God had with the created. We call that the upper story, God wanting to be with God's people. Then we've heard these lower stories, the stories of the people that lived and did and that God interacted with. Most recently, we've talked about Jesus. We've talked about people who've had experiences with Jesus. Their stories, their experiences, their lives were a testament to the life of Jesus, the life, death, resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus told them, as recorded in chapter 27, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Spirit, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus told them to go. And added to their number. We now call this the Great Commission. But really, it was just the way it was. It was the next step for those who were following Jesus. It was what their purpose was, to convert people, to share stories of hope, and to never stop talking about Jesus and about what he did. This book chapter, Max Lucado and Randy Fries, they call this the New Beginnings. And this chapter is so full, like so many, but this one is so full about evangelizing and stories of conversion and of more people meeting Jesus than we could talk about even in a very bright week. It happened. After Jesus was with the disciples for 40 days, which coincidentally is the same amount of time Jesus needed to be away from the disciples back when he was with them all the time, right? His timeout period of 40 days was the same as the time in period that he gave them after the resurrection. He spent that time with them praying and teaching before he ascended to God. He told them during that time not to worry, not to hold on to him, that he would not be able to stay with them much longer, but that he was also not going to abandon them. I'm not going to be with you, but I'm not going to leave you with nothing. Jesus told them the Holy Spirit would come, and that their baptism would make them ready to receive the Spirit of God. And that day did come. The day of Pentecost, when all were gathered together in one place, in the city of Jerusalem, a million, it says, were gathered in that place. And these 120 disciples heard the mighty wind and were anointed with tongues of fire as the Holy Spirit poured over them. And the people were amazed. Of course they were amazed. Right? Like, just pause for a second. A million people are gathered in one place, right? And all of a sudden, there's all this ruckus, all this noise, all this chatter, right? But instead of being chatter of many different languages, nice job, Alice, with all of those names of groups of people, right? But instead of hearing all of these groups of people speak in all of their tongues, they heard with their ears in their own language. They heard grace and love and mercy with their ears. Of course they were amazed. And then Peter took the opportunity, like Peter would, which I love this, right? And he explained to them what had happened. He said, no, they're not drunk. Those who think they're hearing, they're actually hearing. And he explained to them, and he explained to us who are reading this story still today, that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is the Lord. And it says people came to believe. People believed. And more were added to their numbers, and the church became the thing to be a part of. Right? Ooh, talk about a tent revival, huh? Yeah. People wanted to be a part of it. The church was the place where the relevant information was being shared, where stories of Jesus were being shared, where people were experiencing miracles and signs of the apostles, and people wanted to be a part of it. It was the place to be. And it brought great joy. And they added to their numbers. And I think we are called to have that joy in this place still today. To experience that bright week or weeks, right? To be people who seek Jesus and to share the stories. And if we find ourselves a week after Easter still looking in tombs and finding them empty, hopefully we're looking in there hopeful that it's empty. Hopefully we carry the hope of Easter with us. Because Jesus isn't there, not stuck in death or held back by yesterday's needs. I hope, like I said last week, that not only Easter for you is hope, but happy surprises. Happy surprises where you can find how you can trust in God and seek God in new or different parts of the world or in the Word. Being a Christian today might look and feel differently than it did back in Jerusalem at Pentecost. Might be different than what you expect it to have looked, right? But being the church should have also many similarities to what the church was then. We should be people who hear the story in our own language, in a language we understand. The church should be a place where people tell the stories of Jesus to others. To be people that laugh in the face of the devil and not let temptation or cruelty control us. The church should be something that grows, that has life. The church should celebrate Jesus with a bright week or 10 and find the joy in the singing and the sharing of smiles and laughter of the risen Christ. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. One of yours by default, favorite songs to sing is about who the church is, right? I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together, right? Yeah. In there, that song or the other one says, the church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is not a resting place, the church is the
people.
The people. We have a wonderful place to worship here. We have a great building that we love to share. But you are the church. You are the stories of Jesus contained within you, and you're the ones to carry it out into the world. People aren't going to just come in every day and say, "What you doing here? I want to do it too," right? Sometimes we're lucky enough when we have some visitors who do that, and some stay for a while, and we love that too. But we have to take it with us. We have to live as people who know the Word of God and people who are open to standing shoulder to shoulder with those who are seeking God or seeking hope. We need to share what we have and let it be used for the good of the community and for all that wish to live in the Spirit of God. By being open to and walking in the light and dancing in the light and being bearers of the light, we can take what we know and love about Jesus out into this world, wherever we are called to go. By not being fearful of the cross or being weighed down by trying to carry it all on our own, we can be the church. A group that is better together. And I believe that upper story, that God will never stop looking for us or working to reunite our relationship or restore it, that God continues to seek you, that God wants you to be saved, to be reconciled, to be recovered, to be redeemed, to be showered in love. And I believe in Easter and in Pentecost and in how we are called to live in the light. With God's help, may it be so. Amen.